So,
Arjuna
requested Krishna to place the chariot between the two armies so that he could see who would come to fight. Sri Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 1, now text 24. Sanjay Vacha. Eva Mukto Vishikesho Udakeshena Bharata Sena Yorvayor Madhye Stapayitva Pratottamam. Sanjay said, Bharata, thus addressed by Arjuna, Lord Krishna drew up the fine chariot in the midst of the two armies. Actually, both armies. Prabhupada's purport. In this verse, Arjuna is referred to as Udakesha. Udaka means sleep, and one who conquers sleep is Udakesha. Sleep also means ignorance, so Arjuna conquered both sleep and ignorance because of his friendship with Krishna. As a great devotee of Krishna, he did not forget Krishna even for a moment, because that is the nature of a devotee. Either in waking or sleep, a devotee of the Lord can never be free from thinking of Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes. Thus, a devotee of Krishna can conquer both sleep and ignorance simply by thinking of Krishna constantly. This is called Krishna consciousness or samadhi. As Vishikesha, or the director of the senses and mind, every living entity, Krishna could understand Arjuna's purpose in placing the chariot in the midst of the armies. Thus he did so and spoke as follows. Krishna is going to speak now. First time died. Bhishma Drona Pramukataha, in the front of Bhishma Drona. Sarvesham Chamahikshitam. And of all the rulers of the earth, Uvacha Partha Pashaitan Samadetan Kuruniti. The Lord said, Partha, behold these assembled Kurus. Tatra Pashat Stitan Partha Pitrinata Pitaman Acharya Matulam Ratan Putran Putran Sakins Tatha Shashuran Sivadas Jaiva Sena Yoru Bhayorapi. There Arjuna saw, standing there, fathers, grandfathers, teachers, maternal uncles, brothers, sons, grandsons, friends, fathers-in-law, well-wishers, indeed, between both armies. Report. On the battlefield, Arjuna could see all kinds of relatives, persons like Bhuri Shava, who were his father's contemporaries, grandfathers Bhishma and Somadatta, teachers like Dronacharya and Kripacharya, maternal uncles like Shalya and Shakuni, and brothers like Duryodhana, sons like Lakshmana, who was actually Duryodhana's son, friends like Ashwatthama, well-wishers like Kritavarma, etc. He could see also the armies which contained many of his friends. Tahan samiksha sapanteya sarvan bandhu navastita kripaya parya bhishto vishidan nidam abravit. The son of Kunti, Arjuna, saw all these different grades of friends and relatives, and he became overwhelmed with compassion and spoke thus. Arjuna Vacha Drishtvaimam Svajanam Krishna Yuyutsum Supastitam Sidanti Mamagatrani Mukamcha Parishushati. Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, seeing my friends and relatives present before me in such fighting spirit, I feel my body limbs quivering, my mouth drying up. Vipadus jashahide ime, roma harshas jayate, kandivam sansadevastar, tachaiva varidayate. My whole body trembles, my hair stands on end, my bow gandiva slips from my hand, and my skin is burning. Nachashaknaum yavastatum, brahmati vachamema, nimittani chapashyami viparitani keshava. I am now unable to stand here any longer. I forget myself. My mind is reeling. I foresee only evil, O killer of Keshi. Nachashayo nimpashyami, hatva sajanamahave, nakanche rajam vijayam. The Kanche Vijayam Krishna, Nacha Rajam Sukhanicha. I do not see how any good can come from killing my own kinsmen in this battle, nor can I, dear Krishna, desire any subsequent victory, kingdom, or happiness. King no Rajena Govinda, King Bogar Jivitainava. Jai Shamarate Kam Shitam No Rajam Bhoga Sukhanicha Taime Vasnita Yudhe Pranam Chaktva Dhananicha Acharya Pitara Putras Tataiva Chapitamaha Matura Shashura Putra Shara Sambandinas Tadam Etana Hantumichami Natopi Madhusudana Apitrailokya Rajasya Hito Kingdomahipate Nihatya Dhartarastrana Kapritiksya Janardana. Govinda, what avail to us are kingdoms, happiness, or even life itself, and those, all those for whom we may desire them are now arrayed in this battlefield. O Madhusudana, and teachers, fathers, sons, grandfathers, maternal uncles, fathers-in-law, grandsons, brothers-in-law, and all relatives are ready to give up their lives and properties and are standing before me, then why should I wish to kill them, though I may survive? O maintainer of all creatures, I am not prepared to fight with them, even in exchange for the three worlds, let alone this earth. So, stop there. Question?
The way I understand it is that Arjuna is an eternally liberated associate of Lord Krishna.
Yes.
But Lord Krishna put him into this bewildered condition only to teach the world. So, I mean, it seems he was just covered over by Yoga Maya. Or
is it? Yes, that's the way Prabhupada explains it. It didn't last long. Because Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita and he was back up on his feet. And
also, I heard that that whole conversation, which usually would take like 1.5 hours to speak, was contracted. Krishna contracted the time because otherwise nobody would want to wait so long. That's one of my understandings.
Well, yeah, there are many explanations like that. I mean, there's all kinds of meditations on what might have happened. In reality, it's not just like a few people opposite each other ready to fight, mm-hmm. and then what's the delay? Mm-hmm. We're talking about millions of people. And so it does say, Bhagavate Shastra Sampate, that Arjuna was about to release his arrows. But there are huge logistical issues. So when you're talking about mobile, you know, like organizing, imagine if you were on the Kuru side or the Pandu side, organizing millions of people. I mean, there's a lot to do. And so someone says, okay, no, they did. It was all strictly according to rules, at least until the battle started. Once the battle started, as they say, all hell broke loose. But at least up until that time, up till that moment, mm-hmm. as far as being the Tao, it was highly formalized, it was highly ritualized. So it's not that, it was not like in modern times the two armies just come upon each other and they just start fighting. It's not like that. It was a highly ritualized, ceremonialized thing. And even in the Gita, Duryodhana is still talking to his generals. Because Duryodhana approaches his own generals and says, look at the army here. So yes, yeah, the preparations took, the preparations actually took a few months. Because they had to, it's just like in NATO or something, you have to integrate armies. Because who gives the commands and what language they understand the commands in? Because they had regional languages back then. And which, because they had to integrate the armies in many different countries. So it was a huge logistical problem. And because of the highly ceremonialized nature, at least of the opening ceremonies, once the battle begins, it's another thing. But so the fact that two armies were there, they didn't just start fighting. It's not like two armies were there and just one of them just fires the first shot. It's not like that. It's rich, it's formal. Mm-hmm. It's like a soccer game. You don't just run on the field and start kicking the ball. You have to. And so even sometimes in a soccer game, there's so many things they do first and they have to wait till the referee blows the whistle or something.
Yeah.
So realistically, Arjuna's ready, like Prabhupada Shastra Sampate, Arjuna's about to release his arrows. It doesn't literally mean the bow is on his arrow, the battle already begun. I think it just means that Arjuna was psychologically ready to fight.
I had totally different.
Well, I know because we generally.
The picture, when you see the picture, Krishna and Arjuna between the armies,
yeah.
One side, the other side, it really looks like they're like about.
Yeah, but we don't really think about these things.
Yeah.
But if you're a general and you've got millions of people there, and it has to start officially, it has to be like an official beginning of the battle. And the fact that Krishna took Arjuna between the armies, that itself, everyone would just wait. There was, on Duryodhana's side, he had more than enough to keep busy before the battle was to start. It's not like, hey, what's the, he had plenty to do.
Mm.
He had the generals to speak with, is your army all right, is your army? So, Duryodhana wanted to fight, he came there to fight, but it's not like he couldn't use the extra time.
Okay. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, I think that if we really think about these things more like practically,
mm-hmm.
like what's actually involved in mobilizing millions of people. So the Gita, how long it actually... Also, as Prabhupada said, Vyasa actually composed the Gita.
Mm-hmm.
Krishna didn't necessarily speak in perfect slokas. Well, he could, of course, if he wanted to. But here we have, this is Vyasa. Krishna speaking through Vyasa.
Mm-hmm.
So as I always say, we have the Gita that Krishna wants us to have. These are the verses that Krishna wants us to have.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, it's coming from Krishna. But on the battlefield, it's just like Prabhupada. If you look at Prabhupada's verses, he often puts purports into the verses. In other words, there'll be some Sanskrit.
Which is not in the...
Yeah, Bhakti Siddhanta did the same thing, but to make sure we understand it. The Acharyas. So what if he asked the same thing? What if the Bhagavad Gita has purports in the verses in the same way that Prabhupada's translations do, or Bhakti Santa's verses.
Yeah.
So in that sense, the actual conversation might have been shorter. And that this is, but Arjuna, obviously that was Dwapara Yuga, Arjuna's personal friend of Krishna. Krishna might just explain some points, and then Krishna got it. Krishna might explain some points, and Arjuna got it.
Yeah. One devotee wrote an even more elaborate Vita with verses. It's like he's giving many more verses. It sounded like that's the original Vita, which are like explanations of these also slokas. Is that one of them?
Well, I mean, it's not the Bhagavad Gita, but it may be an interesting study guide to the Gita. Mm-hmm. And if it's the correct philosophy to follow in fact, it's not the Bhagavad. I mean, it's a study guide. In a very clever way.
Yeah.
Yeah, one can imagine that Brahma's Prabhupada said this is composed by Vyas. So if Vyas is doing what Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta did, then he might have. Mm-hmm. Well, because Krishna. If you think about it, on the battlefield, Arjuna's bewildered, and then Krishna's explaining you're not your body, and you have to perform sacrifice in this world, and he explains so many things. So if you pose the question, what did Arjuna really need to hear in order to get back in the battlefield? Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at the Gita, mm-hmm. what is it Arjuna really needed to remember?
Mm-hmm. No, no,
no. Yeah, just that you're an eternal soul, you know, and that this is all my plan. That you have to fight as a sacrifice. You're not fighting for your own sense gratification. You're offering the fruits to me. And then actually what my position is. And so you can sort of imagine what Arjuna would need to hear in order to get remotivated, transcend his illusion, and fight.
Yeah.
And you can see in the Gita there's a lot more.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot more, I think, because not in a sense there's not a lot more, it's just bringing out this is what Krishna means, because Arjuna would understand that this is actually what it means.
Some scholars say that the Bhagavad Gita is composed by different authors because it's obviously according to the shlokas one can trace it back to different time periods, so it's not all in one, like we present it as like one thing, but some scholars say no.
I think that's a very speculative. It's not speculative because it assumes that in a sacred work, a highly self-conscious work, you can have different types of speech. Which is not true. For example, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, there's a famous novel by Charles Dickens called Nicholas Nickleby. And so it's sort of one, like a typical Dickens narrative style. In the middle of it, someone tells a story. They're at an inn, like some, you know, the carriage overturned. And so they're stuck in this little inn, this hotel in England. And so then to pass the time, one of the passengers tells a story. And this story is a completely different style. It's a completely different style. It's different. It's just different. So you can say, well, it's different authors. The Mahabharata itself praises itself by saying that it contains different styles and different. So that what if that was held up as a literary value? That, in other words, as a positive thing, what if authors were appreciated as apparently they were if they could write in different styles? So. Even in Prabhupada's original translation, somehow or other, like in chapter 3, there's one verse, do thou fight for the sake of fighting. There's different kinds of English even in, mm-hmm. in Prabhupada's translation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the idea that every time you see a different language, we have a different author, I think is extremely naive and it's just silly. Because that's what great authors do, they have different styles. Especially if they're writing in a culture which values that, mm-hmm. which praises that if you can do that, so they do it. Mm-hmm. Because that's considered to be a literary accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
So the real fact is the scholars don't know a lot of these things. I mean, they know some things, but there's a lot of things they don't know, and they claim to know far, far more than they actually do know. Because basically they can't control themselves.
Mm.
And so even when they don't know it, they still want to give a theory because they can't control themselves. And they can't write a book and where they say, I don't know this, I don't know that, I don't know that. So who will buy their book? So they have to pretend like they do know.
Makes sense. Okay.